You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner for week three of the high school football season. Daniel Versteg with you. This Coach's Corner program brought to you each and every Saturday by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Well, what a week three of the football season it was last night. We're going to talk a lot of the things. We're going to talk about that great Lamar's Community win after blowing a 20-point lead, allowing 27 points unanswered to go onto the board, and defeating Boynton Hall Rock Valley 49-42. Going to have a lot, I'm sure, to talk about with Ken Vigdahl here coming up in just a few minutes. Then we're going to be joined by Jeremy Schindler, the head coach of Galen Catholic football. Jays picked up their first win of the year. That was great to see. 28-7 victors over Alta Aurelia. The Jays are now 1-1 in district play. And then we're going to be joined by the head coach of Hinton Community Football, Coach Kadrian Harderson. Of course, not the outcome the Blackhawks would have wanted last night, losing to Akron Westfield 20-13, but we'll get Coach Harderson's thoughts on the game and what the Blackhawks can improve on. I'm sure we'll talk about all that coming up later on in this program. But again, it was a very, very busy week three of the high school football season. Let's take a look at those Plymouth County scores. Plymouth County, all in all, had a good night last night. Starting in Class 8 player District 1, where 6th-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, they remained unbeaten, improving to 3-0 on the year with a 34-18 victory over West Bend Mallard. In Class A District 1, of course, we mentioned to you, Galen Catholic defeated Alta Aurelia 28-7. How about MMCRU? What a start to the year they had, losing by 28 to Cherokee, beating Galen Catholic last week. They beat Hartley Melvin Sanborn last night by a final score of 42-14. They are 2-0 in district play. That is for sure for the first time since joining MMC and Remsen Union. Akron Westfield, mentioned that, defeated Hinton 20-13. Great win for Coach Seifert. Of course, we'll be talking with Coach Harderson on the other side of that game. In Class A District 8, it was Kingsley Pearson of River Valley picking up a good district win over Westwood, now 1-1 in the district after a 25-13 victory over the Rebels. And then we mentioned it earlier as well, Lamar's Community, 9th ranked in the AP poll, defeated Boynton Hall Rock Valley 49-42. Those scores and more, of course, as always, are on our website under the sports tab. Drop down menu, you can click on sports scores and results. We've got a lot of football scores up on that page as we do each and every Friday night. Well, let's take a break. You don't want to keep listening to me anymore. When we come back, Ken Vigdahl will join us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll get his take on the great contest and just wacky kind of game the Bulldogs played last night. And that's coming up next here on the Coach's Corner, right here on KLEM Radio.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and this Coach's Corner program is brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Mike Rulin, Ross Rulin, Sam Van Wettering, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. On the line with us is the head coach of the Now 3-0, ninth-ranked Lamar's Community Football Teams. Coach Ken Bigdahl, the Bulldogs squeak one out last night, 49-42 on the road at Boynton Hall Rock Valley. And, you know, Coach, we're gonna get into all the nitty-gritty of this game last night. But when all was said and done, was there the biggest sense of relief when you got in your post-game huddle, like, we just played 48 full minutes of football and we got rewarded with a win after it?
Oh, it was no doubt. I mean, and we talked about it just a few minutes ago, you and I, about you saw everything.
Yeah.
You saw a double pass. You saw a snap over the head, a safety. You saw a big play. I mean, it was one of those. It was one of those games that, as a spectator, you know, I don't know if you really cared what team won, because it was just one of the most exciting games and momentum shifts. And they're up, and we're up by 21, and we're thinking, okay, let's get the game, let's play the rest of the game. And all of a sudden, you find yourself down 7, and we go back and we score, and then we stop them, and we go down and score, you know, the game-winning touchdown, and we stop them, and it's a fourth, a fake punt. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'll tell you what, whatever there was in football, it happened in this game.
It absolutely did. Well, yeah, I mean, it just starts with the first half, Coach, and, you know, that first half kind of had everything, too. You guys have, well, you force 4 turnovers on defense in the first half. You are able to score off a couple of them. And you know, just talk about the mentality it took to, you know, come out on your first drive offensively after just getting absolutely slapped across the face with that 80-yard double pass touchdown.
Yeah, you know, just like you said, they came out and on offense, they threw a double pass, they score, all of a sudden we're down by 7 early in the game, so you're thinking, okay, you know, it's early, and so you can get back in it, we got to go down, we got to score, we go score, and then of course, we get them to punt, and then they stop us, and then we snap it over the punter's head, and it's a safety, and, you know, that's all happened in, I just want to say, what, 3-4 minutes?
Right.
All that.
Yeah.
So it was just like, here we go, and we talked about it, like, just you and I a few minutes ago, too. It just, the first quarter took forever to play, and there were just, you know, turnovers and penalties and this and that. And so, but, you know, like you said earlier, when it was all said and done, we fought through adversity. We fought through a lot of adversity late in the game. We don't have a quit mentality to us, and that's something every kid from our youth football to our seniors need to know, that we don't have the quit mentality and come out and score at the end with, what, 2.5 minutes left,
right,
or 3 minutes left, and force them to do something they don't want to do, you know what I mean, pass the ball even more than what they passed it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were able to take a knee the last minute and a half.
Yeah, I want to talk about the adversity you guys kind of fought through on the defensive end. You forced, you know, the 4 turnovers in the first half, and obviously had the game-sealing interception late, so a total of 5 turnovers forced. But, Coach, I think you saw probably every single formation that you could see. And we talked about that pregame with, you know, the shifts and things like that. But then you saw Wildcat, quarterback. I mean, how many things did the guys have to adapt to on the defensive end last night?
Well, they just had to read the keys that they were taught all week, because even though there was a lot of shifts and motions and things like that, football's still a game of numbers. So, you know, you got 3 on this side or 2 on that side. You've got Wildcat. And, you know, Wildcat works at the beginning because you're not for sure that guy can actually run. Well, number 1 or number 4 was their Wildcat quarterback, and he was a pretty good running threat. And so, you know, you have the numbers, and so we know that, you know, you're only going to get 2 on one side, 3 on the other, whatever the case may be, and he's going to try to run the ball. And they really did a good job, and, you know, it was one of those things that, like you said at the beginning, they're 3 on one side, and they throw it to the H coming out of the backfield, and he throws it again, and, you know, they go 86 yards for a touchdown. But I thought our kids really, as the game went on, you know, I mean, there was no time where you would think, okay, we're safe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they caught a big ball at the end, you know, towards the end of the game, and then they ended up throwing an interception in that very next play. But I thought our kids did an excellent job of really getting on the receivers and blanketing them the last quarter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things, windows that were open earlier for them, they weren't open in the fourth quarter.
Coach, we're talking with Ken Vigdahl. Of course, he's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football after a big 49-42 win over Boydenhall Rock Valley last night. You know, Coach, you go into the half and you're up 28-15. They had just scored, of course, right before that that end of that second quarter. What kind of things did you try and adjust? I mean, what were some of the things at that time that you thought were a big thing you needed to focus on as you were getting ready for another half of football?
Well, defensively, it was going back to, okay, you have to stay. We had some guys not cover exactly the way they practiced, and so Coach cleaned that up and stuff. And for us, we were kind of like, okay, we got to just keep doing what we're doing. We've got a couple of other things we wanted to add. Some, they were bringing a lot of pressure. They were, you know, they were bringing a lot of pressure off the edges and stuff. And so we decided that, you know, let's try to get behind them and run some of our vertical package and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it was really offensively for us, it was, we didn't really stay in a lot of same formation. One thing that I thought really changed the game in the first half was our tempo.
Yes.
We're kind of, I'm not saying we're a methodical, no huddle team, but we don't hustle to run a play every 13 seconds. That's not us. We're going to take the 25 seconds. We're going to, you know, use some of the clock,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And shorten the game a little bit. And what we found out was, after a big play, we started going our NASCAR, we call it. It's fast. It's one play. We got three plays in one, and that really was a game changer. And I think we actually scored twice off of just going faster than what we had been. And so that was a big thing in the first half. Second half, we didn't run it quite so much. But what's interesting is all this spread and all, you know, the passing and everything. At the end of the game, we buckled down into our double tight formation and powered and ran ISO at them. And that was a big difference in the end of the game. And it really helped because that set up the reverse at the end to score a touchdown.
Coach, you know, we made the comment as well. You talked about running the football, and you obviously ran the ball well to the tune of almost 380 yards on the night last night. We were talking, Gabe and I, up in the booth about how it was the last 2 weeks. You guys, ultimately, if you looked at the box score, you'd think, oh, you ran the football well. But in the first half in both of those games, that wasn't always the story. Was it a concerted effort to say, hey, we have to run the football better in the first half this week? Or was that just kind of how the game plan dictated itself for you guys?
Well, with their defense, they always want a plus one. We talked about this in the pregame, was they're going to take a chance, and if we're in, let's say, trips or in our near set where we have three receivers on one side, they're going to try to get four on there. Because in most teams that do that, that's where the number is going to go.
Sure. Yeah,
that's where the ball is going to go. And so what we found out was, in game planning, we wanted to send the H that way, our running back that way, but we were really running counter back to the backside with our quarterback. And, you know, Tegan had 23 carries last night, and I don't know how many yards, 140 or more yards. So that was a big deal because you can't overcommit to the strength of the formation, and that's what they did. And so we ended up really in the second half, too. We went all of our a lot of unbalanced sets that most people probably didn't know. We were in our unbalanced set, and we just ran Tegan on our counter play. And we'd send, you know, the H through, like, he's going to the right, and Tegan would pull it and go to the left. But instead of just being a zone read, you have a guard pulling, kicking out, and you have a tackle looping up into the hole and looking inside for the linebacker. So they got they got counters ran at them in a lot of different ways. And the reason we did that was because of the simple fact they would rotate to the strength of our formation. Mm.
Ken Vigdahl with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. And you mentioned Teagan, obviously, and his huge impact for you in the ground game. Looking at the second half, he throws those two interceptions, and you know, however you want to view them, whatever. How did you see him respond? Him in particular, maybe the whole offense, I guess, would also be a good line of this. But how did he respond to the adversity that was coming his way when he threw those two pick sixes? But you had obviously had to all night rely on him, and you needed to rely on him the rest of the night too.
Well, I think talk about the quarterback, but it's also like defensive backs, like sure. At the very first play of the game. You can't have a memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, during the game, you cannot have a memory. We talk about the next play, yeah. And we do something, we do a physical thing with our hand, and you'll see our kids wipe their, kind of like a windshield wiper, clear their mind. Yep. Hey, you know what? You can't go back and unthrow those passes. Mm-hmm. He threw them, and, you know, at the end of the, or to go down and tie the game, he threw a big ball to Alex, and he ended up on the one-yard line. And then, really, we got into our bunch formation and ran a little arrow with Jaden, and he was wide open, and Teagan put it right in his hands, and Jaden caught and scored. So, you know, here's the deal. We trust him. We always have, and that it is what it is. I mean, okay, you throw two interceptions, and that's what happens. But, you know, when it came to make a play, he made a play to tie the game.
Yeah, he came up huge for you all night. And, even after throwing interceptions, just put the team on his back and a really good job. And you mentioned a couple of guys there, obviously Jaden Nelson, who had the go-ahead touchdown for you off of your black reverse, as you call it, and Alex Allen had the big catch to set up the game-tying touchdown. Those two guys were huge for you on defense as well. I know we probably talked about it a little bit earlier on, but the pressure that you garnered on a underclassman quarterback, just, how big was that to be able to, hurry some throws? It rewarded you with some interceptions in the first half and, really make him, kind of sweat back there most of the night.
You know, and it's the way they run their offense. They love screens, so you know what screens means. It means, you know, we want the defensive lineman running at you, you know what I mean? So he would dump it off and stuff like that. So, but I will say this. I thought their offensive line did a nice job of really letting him have some time at different times. Not all the time, but at different times to get the ball deep. You know, they had a couple big catches there, and we were right there, but they love throwing the vertical passing game, and that's what they do, and they did that pretty well at times. But the part that I thought was really big for our defense was we go down and score and tie the game, and then they come out, and I thought we just took it up another level to where we had pressure on him, and he had to throw it, and he threw a couple in the dirt, he threw one over the head, you know what I mean? Yep. So. I just think that, getting him off his mark was a big thing, especially there with, about 4 minutes to go or right. 3 minutes to go after we tied up.
Coach, I also wanted to ask you this. We talked about this up in the booth as defense in the second half. I mean, they were only on the field twice there in the third quarter to the early part of the fourth quarter, had given up two downs. And, of course, in between those two possessions for them were the two pick sixes. How hungry was your defense to come out in that fourth quarter, make a statement, make a stand, and say, hey, we are going to come through for you guys, and, I'll give you a chance to tie the game, we'll give you a chance to win it, and then we'll seal the deal when all's said and done, too?
Well, I just think that's our whole team's mentality. You know what I mean? It was kind of, the defense needed to do their job, in which they did, and then the offense took over and did their job, and that's what they did, and that's what we talk about all the time anyway, is you have to play for your teammates and give your teammates the best of what you have, and that's what they really did, and that's the group of guys that we have, and that's the group, and that's the culture that we spent the last 2 years building, and that's the culture that we want to build all the way from, like I said earlier, our youth programs to our high school level. It's one of those things that we're not going to quit. And, you know, they knew they had to get a stop. They got a stop. We knew we had to score. And, you know, all the extra points we kicked, every, you know, the special teams were pretty solid all night long, except for early in the game. So it's one of those things that, you know, you just love it when you see kids commit fully to something.
Yeah, they absolutely committed. They, you know, they were in the game late and, you know, proved that they could play a full four quarters of football, come away with a win. And even if it, you know, caused a few more gray hairs on a couple of our heads, it was all worthwhile.
It was awesome. It was, you know, like I said to you earlier, the people who paid $7 to get in got their money worth. That was for sure.
Well, Coach, this is kind of when you kind of need a bye week, probably, just to kind of totally reset from it. But obviously, that's not the case in high school football. You get right back at it with MOC Floyd Valley next week. It's the finale of district play, you guys, or non-district play. You guys are 3-0. What is this week of practice going to look like for you guys? What do you have to focus on? I'm sure I know one of the answers, but what are the things you guys have to do right this week in practice?
Well, we just have to get ready for MOC, and that's our only focus. And you know, I think one of the things that our kids learned tonight there is that, you know, teams in Northwest Iowa, they play hard all the time.
Right.
This is our fourth game. SBL played extremely hard. North played extremely hard. Last night, Boyne Hall, Rock Valley played extremely hard. And guess what? MLC is going to play extremely hard.
Right.
That's the way football is played in Northwest Iowa. And so we got to be ready for their three front. You know, we should have a good grasp on that since we've seen that a couple times already this year. And so it's about focus. It's about, you know, we got to do the little things right. We have to make sure that, you know, we're not going to overlook anybody, being, you know, we have Spencer the week after that. But this is all about MOC, and I already reminded them, we don't need another 41-yard field goal at the end of the game to win the game. So let's put this away a little earlier so we have an idea of what's going on.
I love it. Yeah, I hope it doesn't come down to Giovanni's leg, but if it does, of course, we have all the confidence in him. So, gosh, a fun win. Like you said, we got our money's worth and then some off of last night's game. Glad it ended in a victory. We're hoping for another victory next week and hoping for another good week of practice. Best of luck to you guys, Coach, and we'll chat next week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll be back with Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler after this on the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. It's brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Flea Healthcare. Joining us now on the Coach's Corner is the head coach of Galen Catholic Football. It's Coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays last night defeated Alto Aurelia by the score of 28-7, picked up their first district win of the year, now 1-1 in the district, 1-2 overall. Coach Schindler, joins us now. And Coach, let's just start with the elephant in the room. You hadn't won a game up until last night, and you got it done. You got it done by three scores. Just what was the feeling like in the locker room after finally getting that that win for you guys?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of proud kids out there on the field, a lot of proud coaches out there. You know, these guys have worked really hard this year, and it didn't really show it in those first two games, but we walked away from those first two games thinking, man, we should have won both of them.
Right.
You know, we really honestly feel like we should be 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
But for this team to be able to stick with it, you know, especially after having a lot of success last year, and then coming in and you lose the first two games,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of in danger of losing the locker room, and that's not something you want to do.
Right.
And I give all the credit to these guys. They came out this week. They focused. They worked hard in practice. And, you know, they were able to get the job done. You know, they did what we asked them to do. We asked them to be the more physical team.
Mm-hmm.
We asked them to be the more disciplined team. And for the most part, we did that last night.
And because historically, Alta Aurelia has been a team that, you know, likes to spread the football, throw it deep. They want to pass you to death. And obviously, when a team's not rolling like it seemed like you guys were heading into tonight, you know, you can lose that game very quickly if they just break one and succeed. So, you know, was that kind of the main focus of your discipline? Was if you've got a guy, you got to be on him, because, yeah, otherwise he's going to beat you bad?
100%. You know, Coach Ellenzone did a great job. He went back to the drawing board, especially after last week. And you know, he took a lot of the blame himself last week. He felt like he didn't coach the guys up and have them ready to go, especially in the secondary. He made great adjustments this week. He simplified things. We repped it all week long. And he said the only way they're going to beat us is if they are able to get behind us. So if we stay on top of their receivers and don't get beat deep, we're going to win this football game. We're going to be in it. We're going to have a chance. And, you know, we didn't give up the deep ball all night. There was one time they got behind us, but luckily the kid dropped it. Kind of falling out of bounds, and it just fell out of his hands. But for the most part, I thought our secondary played so much better. I thought defensively we had an outstanding game plan. The guys executed it very well. We tackled so much better. Just really proud of the way that group, you know, bounced back and had a really solid game.
Well, and it's obviously this is not the only metric that you can use to measure the worth of a defense or how good they played, but it had to feel nice too that the guys saw something tangible that they could see on the scoreboard with a pick six like Cole had for you, to say we're doing the right thing, and look what it did for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, three or four plays before that, they intercepted Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the defense, I mean, they're down inside our own 30-yard line. And so our defense is backed up, and we got to find a way to respond. And they did a really good job of that, you know, kept their heads, forced them to a third down, and, you know, it was a fourth down, and, mm-hmm. and Cole makes a play. Ball gets tipped, Cole picks it off, and he goes to breaks a couple tackles. We throw a couple really nice blocks. And he's gone. And so, really, you know, it's a great way for the defense to start. Just very encouraging. And they continued that all night long.
Jeremy Schindler's with us, of course. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football, talking about the 28-7 win over Alta Aurelia in district play last night. You know, we talk about the defensive success, obviously a key. How much of that, too, was, you know, not just secondary play, obviously very important when you're going up against a passing team like Alta Aurelia, but how much was some of that maybe, you know, pressure on the quarterback? Because obviously we've talked a lot about your defensive line, your front box, that you put a lot of stock in those guys, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the number in front of me right now, but I want to say we had 3, 4, maybe even 5 sacks on the night. I thought our defensive line did a really good job of pressuring this quarterback.
let him outside the pocket a couple of times, mm-hmm. but luckily he didn't really hurt us too bad with his legs. He wasn't quite the dynamic playmaker that the Marcus quarterback was. So, you know, even though he got outside a couple of times, it didn't kill us. But I thought we got decent pressure all night and forced him into some hurried throws, which, you know, were incomplete, and then obviously got him on the ground a couple of times. So anytime you can do that and get a negative play, that's big for your defense. So the whole defense, you know, and that, a lot of that, too, goes with the guys getting pressure up front has to do with the guys on the back end covering up those receivers and being in their right zone so that the easy throw isn't there. And we were able to do that, cover up those quick throws that they wanted, and then it allowed the defensive line to get pressure. So it was really good job working in tandem, the secondary and the defensive line.
It definitely worked. You did allow one score in the first half, but outside of that, a job well done defensively. How about offensively? I was getting some updates throughout the game, obviously. Your one score was a pick six, but then your other three, a couple for Cale Pearson. Cole finds the end zone again as well. Just it seems like, once again, you were able to move the ball pretty well on the ground last night.
Yeah, 42 carries for 295 yards and three touchdowns on the ground is a really solid night. You know, that's just what we want to do. And the passing game, it's coming. It's getting there. You know, Cole was 4 for 8 for 38 yards. I mean, not huge statistics, but they were timely throws. And, you know, they were creeping their slot defenders, just creeping towards the box and by. They weren't respecting us at all. And so we threw a couple bubble passes, and Dylan Pacus was able to get a few yards. We were able to play action and bootleg him a couple times, and Chance Kelson made a couple big catches across the middle. So just loosened him up enough. We don't have to throw for 150, 200 yards.
Right.
If we can throw for, you know, 75 to maybe 100 yards, if we get really good at it, you know, that's really going to win. This offense is going to take off. So we're getting there slowly. We're making progress with it. But really proud of how the offensive line and those guys really worked all night to open up holes for Cale, Cole, and even Landon Ryder had a nice, we faked the punt and picked up 13 yards on the ground. So, those three guys did a really nice job all night carrying the ball.
How about a pat on the back for Coach Westhoff on that one? Love it. Love a fake pun. Love some trickery there. And, you said something about the passes where they were timely passes. And, Coach, I think anything as far as a completed pass is concerned had to feel really good for Cole and just for the whole offense as a whole, especially coming off the game a week ago where you didn't complete a pass, you couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Just what could a night like last night, where they were small but, you know, some positive gains in the passing game, what can that do for Cole and his targets out there?
Yeah, you know, he's just so raw in terms of, you know, he hasn't had quarterback snaps. I mean, nobody on our roster really has had quarterback snaps. I mean, a significant amount of them. You know, when you got a kid who was a quarterback for the better part of 2.5 years for you and in Connor Kraft, and he graduates, you know, not a lot of people are getting snaps behind him. I mean, he was kind of a dude for the last 2.5 years. So, it's a learning experience for him. And there's those still little things. I can remember a couple times last night, you know, he went out on a bootleg and he had the guy beat on the corner. And if he just takes off and runs, there's green grass. But instead, he tries to throw the ball and we missed the pass. You know, that's just, he's going to learn from that. This kid he's such a smart kid. He's such a good football player. He's going to continue to learn. And every time he takes a rep, he's going to get better. And you're seeing that. He's slowly and surely making progress. We made progress with him in the running game last week and this week. And then the passing game, you know, little baby steps this week. And hopefully that continues as the weeks come forward.
Jeremy Schindler with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic Football. The Jays defeated Alta Aurelia last night. by a score of 28-7. Those were, you know, some of the things I was able to point out from afar, obviously not watching the game. What are some things that, you know, might not have even gone noticed to, you know, some of the fans in attendance? What were some of the things that really caught your eye that, you know, maybe really should be noticed and acknowledged about how your team performed?
Well, we had some guys step up. With the injury bug has hit us pretty bad. You know, we had Alex Peters, you know, is a non-football injury. It's really not an injury, but he had appendicitis and had to have his appendix taken out Thursday evening. So he's gone. Aiden Ruland, you know, got hurt giving shots to pigs and broke his elbow.
Oh,
so he had surgery. You know, Jake Bogan got a concussion last week. So, I mean, we were down some significant starters tonight. And I guess the really proud thing that I saw is we had some dudes step up and some young guys. Wyatt Kuntz, a freshman. We tried to make a concerted effort to not play Cale Pearson so much on defense because, I mean, he is a large portion of our offense. It's no secret. He's the guy we get the ball to, and we want him to carry the rock 30 times a game. But he can't do that when he's also playing defense. So we actually inserted a freshman, Wyatt Kuntz, at corner, and Wyatt played a heck of a game. I mean, he's about 5'5", 125 pounds. Well, let me tell you what, man, he will fight his butt off. And he went in there and made a couple nice little ankle-biting tackles, and, you know, he didn't get beat deep. That was a big thing. Don't get beat deep. You know, we had some guys playing in the line of scrimmage. Drake Hodgson played defense for us. Played in the defensive line. Mason Small, another freshman, played in the defensive line a little bit for us, just trying to give some of those guys breaks. So really proud of some of the guys who stepped up, especially the really young guys. And, you know, that's only going to make us better as the season goes on because those guys are so green. As they continue to get more reps and more snaps, they're going to improve by leaps and bounds. And so, you know, I think we can do that as a team, but especially those young guys.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really good to hear, you know, young guys stepping up when their number's called. I think that's especially true for your program, obviously, with some lower numbers than, you know, say, Lamar's community, where they have, you know, a bunch of guys at their disposal. But it is really nice to see that guys are able to step up and answer the call, because I know you preach that to them all the time, and maybe for some kids it's like, well, yeah, I'm never going to get that call. But really cool to see that, and I'm sure for you it's just awesome. Obviously, your answer says it, that they got the opportunity, and they just took full advantage of it.
Absolutely. You know, they work hard. We got a group of guys who work really hard, and you know, this was a much needed win for our program, for this team. And now, you know, there's still little things that we can learn, and we talked about that, and we go back to work this morning and watch film, get a lift in, and you know, continue to get better for Woodbury Central.
Yeah, this is a really, you know, interesting matchup. Obviously, the playoff rematch from last year, they're ranked number 3. You know, kind of what kind of things do you guys have to do mentality-wise? Because, you know, newsflash to you, Coach, you're probably the underdogs going into that game next week. Just what do you have to do mentality-wise to maybe not view it that way and, you know, still put your best foot forward against a good team?
Yeah, I think it's just still about just improving. You know, we know they're going to throw the ball on us. That quarterback's a really good quarterback,
yes.
And he's getting some looks from some nice-sized colleges. And so we definitely want to make sure that we're hopefully a little bit sound in our coverage. I thought we took a step forward this week, and so hopefully we can continue and take another step forward. You know, we're going to have to try and get some pressure on him, maybe get him moving a little bit. But, you know, they're pretty stout up front as well. So, you know, we're going to have to definitely have a great week of practice. Make sure that we know there's a specific way that we're going to win this game. That's by controlling the line of scrimmage and then hopefully slowing them down in the passing game. If we can do that, then, you know, we can keep this game close and you know, have a fighting chance in the fourth quarter.
Well, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that game. We'll have the coverage of that next week. So should be a good, hopefully a good week of practice leading up to it. Coach, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us in the Coach's Corner today, and we'll talk to you this week.
Sounds good. No, thanks. Go Hawks.
Absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. I'll get the last word and say go Clones here on the Coach's Corner. Take a break and come back with more coaches' interviews after this on KLEM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamar's, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. Accepting your insurance, True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio. The Coach's Corner is brought to you every Saturday by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Wards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us now is the head coach of the Hinton Blackhawks. It's Coach Kadrian Harderson. The Blackhawks end non-district play last night with a 20-13 loss at home against the Westerners of Akron Westfield, down 13-0 at the half. And well, you finished it out as a one-score game, Coach. What kind of maybe resiliency did you see from the guys to take a two-possession deficit at the break and turn it into a ball game at least late?
Yeah, you know, I was real happy with the way we came out of the half. I thought, you know, no, at halftime there was no panic on any of the guys' faces. I think they all felt like, you know what, we missed some opportunities in the first half. Mm-hmm. We started flat, and we dug this hole for ourselves, and we know it, and we can dig ourselves out of it. So, you know, coming right out of the gate, I felt like the guys had a good mentality of let's get to work and let's get this thing done, and they were able to move the ball a little bit. But when you dig yourself that much of a hole at the beginning, it's tough to come all the way back. And credit to Akron, you know, they're a tough team. They've really changed philosophies this year, and their kids have bought into what their coach is preaching. So they were a good team. They deserve to win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talk about kind of digging yourself a hole, and you mentioned before we started a turnover there in the first half, and the blocked field goal. Just, you know, those are costly errors, and does it feel so much more magnified, especially when the game turns out to be, you know, low scoring, relatively speaking?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing. You never know. Football, you can always look back and say, hey, a play here or a play there. Right. But the reality is you just never know when that play is going to happen. And, you know, mentally, you really have to lock it in every play. You can't afford to have mental errors that cost you 6 points here or 3 points, you know, with the blocked field goal there. So, yeah, those are things we have to shore up and we have to clean up going forward, because the reality is we're in a tough district and we're going to play a lot of close games. So moving forward, we're going to have to find a way to win those close games. And the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is generally the team that's going to come out on top. So we've got some things to clean up there. But the nice thing is I think a lot of those things are fixable. It's not due to lack of ability or lack of athleticism. It's just, can we mentally stay focused to get the job done?
Well, and, you know, mental focus is obviously a key when it comes to defense, and you know, when it comes to playing against a program like Akron, you know, they like you said, changed philosophies. You couldn't recycle the same game plan that you had in previous years. So, Coach, how much focus did it take to kind of adapt to what, you know, the Westerners were trying to do to you, which you know, saw a little bit more running of the football last night?
I think anytime you have an athlete like number one at quarterback, I mean, you're just going to be tough. You're going to be tough to game plan for. You know, the Cook kid, he ran all over the place, whether it be in drop back pass game and we flush him out of the pocket and he'd make a real athletic move and make a guy miss and spread
sprint out of the pocket and either scramble or find somebody down the field 30 yards or in the design quarterback run game. He was just really tough. You know, I felt like he was the fastest kid on the field last night. And we knew going in we were going to have to bottle him up. That was the entirety of the game plan on defense, is don't let number one beat you. But, you know, sometimes good at it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And he made some big plays. He really did. So, again, credit to him. Kudos to him. Like, he's a phenomenal athlete. He'll have a great year. I just think there were a certain occasions, you know, where we were able to keep Akron kind of at bay, to stop them from running the football. So I was fairly pleased with that. But, yeah, it seemed like every time we needed a big play and they did too, they came up with it and we didn't.
Kadrian Harderson with us, head coach of Hinton football after a 20-13 loss to Akron Westfield last week. And, you know, coach, your big play opportunities kind of started, you know, running out, I guess, when it comes to the injury bug that hits you, especially in the backfield. My goodness, coach, you go from losing your starting back and then you bring in your backup and he goes down as well. Just how tough is that to bounce back from as an offense?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not fun. No. It's not fun to try to game plan around having your first and second string running back out. But, you know, we had some guys step up. I thought Gabe Anderson really played a tremendous game, you know. Losing Garrett Lindley real early in the game obviously changed our game plan. A kid we were really, really hoping to get 20, 25 carries to. And then his backup, Brooks Benebus, was banged up as well and hobbled with a bad ankle. So, it really made it tough, and we needed somebody to step up. And it was great from our standpoint as coaches to see Gabe, you know, as a quarterback, really, really take hold of the team and say, "Hey, get on my back here. We're going to do whatever we have to do to try to win this thing." And you know, he carried the ball a lot more than we were anticipating coming into the game, but he was very effective doing so. And at all times, I felt like he was in complete control. And a lot of other guys stepped up too. You know, having to play out of position. Brogan Lake having to come in and play some running back when he hasn't done that at all this year. So there were some encouraging things there, you know, guys trying to pick up the slack, so to speak. But yeah, it's never fun when you've got guys playing out of position in a varsity football game, that's for sure.
Well, and you know, you talk about Gabe Anderson, and obviously it is an 11-man field. It is you know, a total team effort. But coach, I looked at the your stats against Galen, and he needed to be the guy running the football for you then. You know, you were trying to get him going against Western, just couldn't get it going. Just how have you seen Gabe respond to these challenges of, you know, having to be kind of the guy that you need to rely on to move the football most nights?
Yeah, you know, Gabe's a real quiet but a confident kid. And I think what we appreciate most as coaches with Gabe is just the competitive nature that he has. You know, it you don't see it in class, and you don't see it all the time when you see him in the hallways or in the weight room. But man, you get him on a Friday night underneath the lights, and you just see something click in his eyes. And he wants the ball in his hands, and he's going to do everything he can to make a play. So yeah, that's great to see. You know, I mean, whenever you have a kid like that, everybody else, especially playing quarterback, everybody else is just going to get behind him. And that was really great to see. You know, he really took the big step, you know, as a junior to kind of make this his team, and telling everybody, "Hey, get on my back and I'll take you where we want to go." So, yeah, that was definitely a positive we can take from the game.
It must be something about that Anderson last name, because that's done so well for you.
It has. Yep. Thankfully, they had a lot of boys, and we got another one coming. So that's good.
There you go. Yeah, you're well stocked. Well, and you know, we talked about a little off the outset. I mean, I think you guys probably could have gone into that locker room. You said you made a bunch of adjustments. You could have come back out the second half and just said, "Well, we're down two possessions. We're, you know, we'll just pack it up and get ready for district play." But you know, we've mentioned it a couple times now. You guys were able to put a couple scores on the board, make it a contest, and you obviously didn't want to see it end that way. So they fought all the way to the end.
Yeah, you know, and that was kind of my message to them at the end as well. You know, like, you know, this one hurts, fellas. This is one you felt like you should have won. But at the end of the day, I'm proud of that effort, and I'm proud of that fight. And there's no quitting in those dogs. And there's something to be said for that, you know. They're going to fight till the end. Now, we got to find a way to fix the start. Stay out of that hole, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, I never question the effort these guys bring and how much they care about what they're doing. That is never in question. You know, they are a physical bunch of kids. They love the game and they love each other. And as long as you have that, you know what, you can build and you can go a long way with that. So we'll continue to try to improve, you know, on the places where we didn't quite measure up. But going forward, I feel like there's brighter days ahead.
Absolutely, and those brighter days involve district play. It's either the coach's favorite or least favorite week of the year with a homecoming coming up this week. You take on Ridgeview. How do you get the guys ready for you know, a district game? Obviously, that carries more significance. You can kind of help your playoff stock a little bit with that game, and against a Ridgeview squad that's having a kind of up and down start to the season.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a wise old ball coach named Steve Dietrich tell me that the only thing that matters about homecoming is a football game. So that's the same message that I preach to these kids, you know. It's all fun, and it's great to have a good time, and homecoming is for the kids, and they really enjoy it, and they should. It's a good time, but at the end of the day, if you don't win that football game on Friday night, nothing else really matters.
Right.
And I think the group that we have now, they've got a great sense of balance of, okay, we know when we can have fun, we know when we need to get to work. We're kind of approaching it as, this is a great time, fellas, let's enjoy this, let's have fun with the homecoming week. But at the same time, we have a job to do. Let's make sure we get our job done first and foremost, and then from there, we'll start the celebration at the dance on Saturday.
Absolutely. Last thing for you, just what I know you are still gonna look at some film today and diagnose some things, but just kind of your thoughts of what are some things that you're probably gonna have to be focusing on in practice this week to shore things up before you play district contest next week.
Yeah, I think you need to be more efficient in the pass game. That's one thing that, for whatever reason, we're just not performing up to expectation. I think if we want to get to where we want to get to, we have to be able to at least get the threat that at any point in time we can throw the ball and throw it well. So that's one thing that we need to focus on, and then on the defensive side of the ball, staying gap sound in our defensive scheme is huge. Making sure that we always have our leverage points. I think tonight we gave up leverage maybe 7 or 8 times, and those plays kill you when you're playing a 3-5 defense. So those are two things that we'll really harp on this week and hopefully shore up going into the district season.
Absolutely. We know we'll turn things around. You'll get them on the right track, and looking forward to a better outcome this week. Coach, we always appreciate your time. Best of luck this week, and we'll I'm sure chat down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for all you do, Dan.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That's Kadrian Harderson, head coach of Hinton Football. We'll be back to wrap up the Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner, wrapping up another hour right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Of course, the Coach's Corner every Saturday is brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Yeah, once again, this 8 o'clock hour just flies by on a Saturday morning. We're, of course, always appreciative to our coaches joining us this week. Ken Vigdahl, Jeremy Schindler, and Kadrian Harderson. Always appreciate their time giving you the insight into the locker room and the thought process into their programs. It's always appreciated each and every Saturday here on the Coach's Corner. Let's give you a heads up of what's coming up here on KLAM Radio Sports. Coming up Tuesday night, we'll head to Western Plymouth County to Akron as the Westerners of Akron Westfield. They host Galing Catholic for some Wargo Conference volleyball. Should be a great contest. We'll have it all for you. First serves around 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air a little bit before that. Of course, all that contingent on the JV and C-level games that'll be before it. But again, we'll have the varsity contest for you right here on KLAM. And then coming up Friday night next week, our featured football game of the week. It is Galing Catholic at Woodbury Central. Of course, the rematch of that round of 16 contest last year. And boy, Woodbury Central has been to the Dome the last couple of years, so going to be a tall task for the Jays, but if there's anybody that can be ready for it, it's Coach Schindler and Galing Catholic football. So we'll have that for you. We'll have pregame at 6:15, kickoffs at 7 o'clock, scheduled to bring you that contest on the KLAM Radio YouTube channel as well. And we greatly appreciate all of our sponsors for making that a possibility. That's what's coming up here on KLAM Radio Sports. We hope you'll stick around and enjoy some of the many great things that we can bring you here on KLAM Radio. Well, that does it for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Again, thanks to all of our coaches for joining us here this Saturday morning. And thank you all for tuning in as well. For all of us at KLAM Radio, for KLAM Sports, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the Cy-Hawk game today, and we'll have more sports for you coming up Monday on KLAM Radio, another edition of the Coach's Corner next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your weekend.